afternoon. Today is Tuesday. No, it's not. It's Thursday. It's a tea day. The 13th of March. 72nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is interim city manager for the city of Eureka, Mr. Mike Knight. The crowds go wild. So you enjoying the weather at all?
I'm enjoying the weather. I'm glad that we got a lot of rain, though. Ruth Lake is full, and I think we're all happy about that.
Yeah, I know. I've seen Carol three times in the last week, and she said that every time.
but the last couple of days have been amazing, yesterday in particular.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about what the respite is providing the city as far as availability. At least I know some places that need a little TLC. We'll find out if Mike does, too, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight from the City of Eureka. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find one here from somebody I recognize. No, not in that section. Okay. Confidence is our heading. All right. Confidence is a plant of slow growth. How's that? Anna Leowens, 1872. I like that one. I like that one. Particularly because we're talking nurseries during the break. So, how's life at City Hall?
You know, life's going pretty good at City Hall, actually. You know, the mayor and councilor are pretty excited about their new selection for city manager, Mr. Greg Sparks. And staff is getting ready to meet with him when he comes on board. I think it's in May. So, you know, everything's going pretty good, though. We're trying to keep the ball rolling for him. We have had a couple of key department heads submit their resignations, retiring. When our community development director left us to join the county, our neighbor across the street.
You mean Hamlin snaked one of your guys?
Yes, he did. I saw him over there lurking around City Hall. I should have known he was up to no good.
Who'd he get?
So he got our community development director, Rob Wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then one that hits me hard is Bruce Young, our public works director, who I've worked with since I've been here, have a tremendous amount of respect for. He also is choosing to retire, and I think he and his wife have a lot of plans to enjoy themselves when he steps away from work in middle of June. So, but other than that, things are going great at City Hall.
Nice setup. So Rob's going to the big time. Okay.
That's correct.
And I suppose that's even though initially it might be a little uncomfortable for the city, it's probably good news overall for the region, city and county.
Working together?
Yeah. I mean, he certainly knows Eureka, and particularly with all the stuff Myrtletown represents and Cotton and Pine Hill and all these, what do they call them, the area sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I can see that could benefit, and those guys will probably end up mentoring whoever the replacements are anyway the city. So, okay. Does this mean Dan Moody's back again in public works?
Dan Moody's still helping us out in public works.
Now, that's been, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yes. I actually...
Can you ever really get rid of him?
Well, you know, I think he actually wants to step away here pretty soon, but I enjoy working with him. He's been an asset for our staff, I think.
So how do you replace... I mean, except for, of course, city manager and finance directors and things like that mm-hmm. you're more knowledgeable of. How do you replace a public works guy? Because I would think that there's so much... there's risk. I mean, if it wasn't Rob or Kevin leaving and staying in the neighborhood, the common day-to-day stuff, those efficiencies being lost, how do you replace or backfill or work that to get to the point where it's different but it's not bad?
Well, certainly, as I said, I think Bruce is a difficult loss for us. He brings a tremendous amount of experience. He's worked his way up from the water crews and the sewer crews and the public works.
You mean ditch digging?
He's basically done it all, so yeah. He knows our infrastructure. So a tremendous loss in historic knowledge, but as with any staff loss, we need to do our best to find a way to replace him. And I haven't talked to Bruce about this yet, so hopefully he won't be surprised by hearing it over the radio.
Hi, Bruce!
But certainly after we do replace him, there may be an opportunity, and I don't mean a long-term thing, but there may be an opportunity to extract some of his knowledge out of him.
You mean the Moody factor?
There we go.
Okay.
The Moody / Young factor.
Yeah. Well, you look at that, and they talk about plans of succession and all that kind of stuff, and it's tough to do that when you're in the middle of having to shovel this or cover that or deal with this or play it. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's one of those things. Great, I'll do it next week kinds of things. But with Dan, as well as with Bruce, that's two pretty significant employees in that department who will have moved on in the last little bit. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to backfill in for guys who have been around, or gals, if it's that scenario, that length of time in any one department?
Yeah. We're actually pretty deep in public works, have some folks in-house that have a tremendous amount of knowledge and have learned a lot from Bruce's stewardship. So I think we have enough help to keep us going forward. And certainly we're going to work hard to replace Bruce with somebody that brings a similar skill set to the table. I'm an eternal optimist. Unfortunately, we have to keep moving forward and keep getting the job done and keep being as efficient as we can.
Same scenario for Rob's position, because certainly he moved up when Kevin left, whatever the number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Is there somebody behind him that can pull the string and everybody steps up one?
There's certainly some talent within the community development department. Now it's combined with building. Council has authorized us to begin a recruitment, and that will be an open recruitment. So everybody,
which means you go outside?
Everybody will be invited to attend, to throw their application in the ring, including staff in-house, just as what we just went through with the city manager.
Not me, though.
No. Well, you
nearly open.
Yeah, nearly open.
Nearly open. Yeah. Okay. Don't want those rumors to start also. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Mike Knight.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight, interim city manager for Eureka. Mike, I've emphasized the interim part. Obviously, if anybody's been paying any attention in the last little bit, they know that there's going to be a new cowboy in town here pretty quick.
I think right about May.
Have you had a chance to spend much time with the new fella and kind of kick tires and let him kick tires a little bit, even if it's just over the phone or emails?
I have not had any time to meet with the gentleman yet. I was going to reach out to him and congratulate him through an email and kind of open up the dialogue. I hear he may be coming into town, so that'll be another opportunity to meet him.
Do you have his physical description yet?
I do not.
Oh, so when somebody strange-looking haunts your doorway?
There you go. My wife did check him out online, and she's pretty impressed.
Your wife checked him out, and she was impressed?
That's correct. With his credentials.
Oh, I see. Yeah, more detail, man. More detail. Oh, boy. Torn up that you didn't get it?
No, I'm not. I was excited to take on the job, and I was excited to step up. But at the same time, as I mentioned at the break, I have a very good job, and I look forward to meeting Greg Sparks and then helping him be successful.
Now, Greg comes from Des Moines most recently.
West Des Moines is what I understand, yes.
Now, is West Des Moines different than Des Moines?
And I think it's just the west side.
Okay. What do you think is going to be his biggest challenge initially?
Well, I know what I think our biggest challenge right now is getting information out to the public regarding the potential to extend Measure O, which is our half-cent supplemental transaction and use tax, which sunsets in 2016, and
you
that's
mean,
huge.
You mean that the half percent sales tax?
Yes.
Thanks.
But you know, that really is going to be a big challenge because out of a $26.5 million general fund budget, which funds all of our public safety and, you know, some of City Hall and some of Public Works, out of that, about $4 million a year is generated by that supplemental transaction and use tax. So as you can see, if you take that away, or if it sunsets in 2016, then there would be significant cuts to programs. And so it's just, what kind of community do we want?
When Dave left, it was still too early. But now Walmart's been there for a while. What's been the impact for that sales tax dollar? Because I know that the first year it was not in the budget. There were no allowances made whatsoever, so it was all going to be pennies from heaven, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Has that been a significant impact for the city?
Well, certainly our sales tax is trending about what we've projected. It's a little flatter than we would like, but certainly, you know, the Bayshore Mall is a major contributor to our sales tax for this region. And of course, Walmart's, I guess, not technically in the mall, but they're down in at the mall location. So we certainly realize revenue from, you know, our retail operations. And that's important to our general fund also.
Do you think folks understand the impact of auto sales to paving the roads, to the cops, to the fire guys, to the to the cherry wood desk?
Certainly.
Cars seem to be these things. Yeah, what's one car? What's two car? If they go out of town to somewhere else, mm-hmm. The whole concept of leakage. Do you think that registers with folks?
With leakage?
Yeah, going out of town and those sales tax dollars going into a different community.
Well, what I understand, and I actually didn't know this until someone pointed it out to me. What I understand is that it's actually where the car is registered. So if you live and you're registered in the city of Eureka, then that portion of that sales tax would come back towards us.
But a car is a pretty big chunk.
A car is a pretty big chunk, yes. Yeah, we do well with our car dealers. we're happy to support them.
You know, it's tough because I know he knows the numbers, and I also know he can't say what the numbers are.
That's correct.
How does the current challenge with the vagrants in the area and the emotion associated with that, how does that rank on your list? If Measure O is number one, where are some of the, call them cultural challenges, where does that stack up on your list?
I think that's tied with number one, and our new police chief is spending a tremendous amount of time working with the local agencies and the providers and the sheriff's department, and we're trying to develop a plan for dealing with that issue. It's tied with Measure O is tied with that.
With the department head openings that you allowed earlier in the show, do you get the call on those? Does the city council? Does the new city manager, when he arrives, who is the one that says, and if you'd like it, it's yours?
So if it's a department head position, then the city manager is the selector, but the contract still needs to go to the city council for approval. So the city council is the ultimate approver, but typically the city manager is the one that makes the recommendation.
So more of a confirmation?
Yes, Greg Sparks will be here in time to appoint these very key positions, or recommend them onto the city council with the contract.
How long does it take to find somebody? A couple months?
I just pulled 4 months out of the air for the community development director position because you have to get it out for a month, and then you have the first round of interviews, the second round of interviews, and then they have to give notice. So, I think 4 months is a decent time frame.
It's 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight from the City of Eureka. Mike, as you look at the city now, obviously you guys are doing a lot of number crunching and budgets and all that kind of stuff for the upcoming year. How do you project things? You talked a little bit earlier, reference Measure O. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's a couple years down the road. Don't have to worry about it right now. But how do you project sales tax, for example? I mean, you hear about, North Dakota, it's going through the roof. The Midwest is going crazy. This area is up. This area is up. And you look here and you go, yeah. Do you just project flat and then any kind of a bump up is seen as a moral victory?
We look at it from year to year, and of course the city manager works very closely with our finance director, but when we go into budget, we like to be a little bit on the conservative side, so if there are surprises, they would be to the positive, and that would help us for the next budget cycle. But our sales tax here, I don't really want to say flat. There's a little bit of growth. We meet with consultants and review the quarterly sales tax, and so we have a fair amount of information before we project for the next year. And so far, we look like we're on target for this year, and I think the finance director did a pretty good job of projecting the sales tax last year. So we've been in the ballgame.
So with the finance director's insight... Mm-hmm. Do you go at 98%, or do you just kind of go with 100? So if there is a 1 or 2% kind of estimate that is going to bump up, great dandy, that's okay. But unless you're hearing something like, okay, major development is coming in, or a new car dealership is coming to town, something that obviously is going to spin off some kind of additional revenues, mm-hmm. you just kind of play it that tight. Is that the approach?
We do. We play it that tight because again we. Rather make sure that we can deliver the programs that we promise in the budget, throughout the year, and not put ourselves in a difficult position when we start this next budget year. And I think we're going to start this budget year in the shape that we projected a year ago.
Which is no surprises.
Which is no surprises yet, knock on wood.
Okay, yes, there always is that caveat until you cross June 30, huh?
Yeah. So luckily all of us spend our money in Eureka. So.
Well, and it's kind of weird because did you prepare the last budget or did Tyson do that with you?
I think it was actually Mr. Panos and the
oh, that's right.
director for the last budget cycle for the
funny how quickly we forget.
Yes.
So this is your first rodeo on your own?
You know, I will be on my own for a little bit, but certainly the new city manager will be here in time. We'll have the budget rolling down the process, but he'll be here in time to review and comment and perhaps suggest some changes of his own.
Yeah, perhaps. Have you ever known a new guy not to make a suggestion?
No, I think the timing is good, though.
Now, I forgot you mentioned the city manager previous.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy of his is dubious, I guess, is probably being kind of across the board. With that being recognized, is Mr. Sparks, when he comes to town, is he going to have to overcome some of that legacy and just prove that he's not like the last guy?
I really don't think so. I think he'll come in as his own person. And again, Council and Mayor are very excited about his abilities, and my wife seems to approve. So you know, I think he's going to come in as his own person, and he'll set his own demeanor and atmosphere around City Hall. And
so a non-factor entirely?
No, I didn't say that. The
specter of.
No, I think enough time has lapsed. He'll be setting his own.
So it'll be your specter.
Well, that'll be easy.
Or your physicalness, yeah, depending what floor you're on at the moment, right? So how does it work? You wanted the job, or at least enough to apply.
That's correct.
Okay. New guy comes in. You are the number two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that relationship begin to forge into a positive? Because I think your personality set aside, there could be some people who would look to kneecap the new guy to make either himself look good or to try to bring himself up, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's like, how do you work together as a team?
Well, certainly I get paid very well to support my new boss, and that's what I intend to do. And I think all of us want the city council and the city and the community to succeed, and we're going to work towards that goal. We're not going to work towards trying to make each other not look as good. So it's all about teamwork and support, and I say that truly.
You've known some of the other personalities in the past who might not. Well, they may flap their lips to that, but they wouldn't necessarily subscribe to that same theory of of kumbaya. Are there safeguards that are in place, Mike, to help ensure that everything's going okay? Or, if not, flares that would be going off so that others might recognize what's going on and deal with it before it becomes a significant concern?
Yeah, I just can't gravitate to there going to be issues, because as department heads, we're all going to support Greg, and we're all going to want the council's policies to be carried out and priorities to be carried out, and it's just not going to happen.
KINS, you notice I recognize that brick wall as I'm quickly approaching it. That would be the discussion, not the time of the commercial break. KINS, News and Information Times 342. I'll get out of this alley and we'll come back with more Talk Shop.
You know, and I'm not really just giving you.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight from the city of Eureka. Mike, we haven't had an awful lot of wetness lately, but when we do, we seem to Do it right. The way that we've been getting the precipitation this year, does that cause problems for the city?
You know, we really haven't had that many problems this year that I'm aware of. Certainly staff has been out and been called out to keep the drains open during some of these heavier rains. But so far this year, knock on wood, you know, we did get some pretty concentrated rain not that long ago. We held up pretty good. So maybe it didn't coincide with the high tides.
Wow!
Because that does cause a little extra problem.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that kind of nuisance flooding in Old Town so far.
Nuisance flooding. Isn't all flooding a nuisance?
Yeah. Well, curb to curb.
Question for you. The earthquake that we had and the lack of injury, the lack of impact, the lack of damage. Now, if we play that scenario out and said, okay, Mr. City Manager, sir, we're going to have a 6.9. It's going to be a couple miles off the coast, but it's going to be relatively close. It's going to be a shallow one also. There's not going to be any apparent signs of damage. What are you going to do? So the scenario plays out, and now it's reality. How do you check the systems to make sure that there's nothing wrong, that the pipes haven't broken, that the electrical isn't working, that there's gas pipes 20 feet down are working okay? How do you go through all that stuff to know that really, yeah, there really was no damage?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually we start with a windshield survey, and we send crews out to inspect all of our facilities and buildings and, you know, take a close look at all our URM buildings. But a lot of times how we find out about stuff, believe it or not, is our dispatch gets flooded with calls. And I'm not aware of a single call from this earthquake, at least last I heard.
Yeah,
at our dispatch center.
We jumped in the truck about 3 minutes later. I heard one alarm. I didn't hear a single siren. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, it's only about a five-minute drive out here. Didn't hear a single thing. Nowhere, nothing. When we were done doing the on-air stuff, instead of going direct, we went down through downtown. Chairs that were stacked upside down on highly lacquered tables were still in the same place. The grocery stores and the liquor stores and stuff, nothing had moved. The thing that my impression, other than the lack, is none of the merchants were showing up to their stores to check things out either. It was like it didn't happen.
Yeah. A 6.9 would usually always result in us activating our EOC and at least getting together and assessing damage. We did not activate just because of the lack of calls of service. I do think we dodged a bullet, though. That's certainly strong enough to cause some damage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we remember 91, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
2010.
Well, yeah. To me, the other one was more impressive just because we had the three and then the boom and the smoke and the mirrors and the fire and all that kind of stuff. But so you guys will just kind of get out and the department heads will drive around? Or how do you determine whether or not there's any damage? Or you just kind of go home? I mean, activating the EOC, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of check out the neighborhoods, too?
We do. We call it a windshield survey.
I wrote that down. I like that.
So now certainly that's drive-by. But you can see a lot. You know, for that last earthquake, you could see fireplaces displaced. You can see portions of parapets have fallen off of URMs. So you can see if there's cracks in some of our unreinforced masonry buildings. Certainly our staff know our alarms would be going off at our lift stations if something was wrong. So there's a number of different ways we can monitor our infrastructure and determine if there are problems.
Thanks for coming by. At least one or two more for you, huh? Yeah, all right.
One or two more.
Yeah. Yeah. And the relief is on his face. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.